Seeking the Lord's divine help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Isaiah chapter 63 and the last part of verse 1. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 63 and the last part of verse 1. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Isaiah chapter 63, I'll read the whole verse. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. The prophecy of Isaiah is a most blessed part of God's holy word. It is full of blessed prophecies concerning the glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus and of his sufferings and of his glorious death and resurrection. The old divines used to say it was the gospel of Isaiah, because so much of it is full of the glorious gospel that the Lord Jesus so blessedly preached while he was upon this earth. And so often he quoted from this sacred book. Now, this last part of this first verse came to me very powerfully as we were at the prayer meeting at South Chard on Wednesday. And it has remained with me, and I trust that we shall prove it to be the Lord's message to each of our souls. Just to hint at one or two things in leading up to it, this searching question was put forth in the first verse here where our text is found. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. What a question. How would you answer it? How would I? The Holy Spirit has divinely recorded it as many other questions in God's holy word. I remember in my early days in the ministry, one of our old deacons in this country, he said to me once, he said, you know, really every God-sent servant should continually ask questions, like the Word of God does, to bring the people to concern how they would answer it. And the Holy Spirit has wonderfully recorded this word. Of course, really, one's initial answer to it would be, this is spoken concerning none other than the dear Lord Jesus himself. But it is particularly spoken not concerning his first coming, but of his second coming. We live in solemn, dark days, and only the Lord, as Jesus said, while upon the earth, knows the hour and the time when the Son of Man will come again. The vital question is and should be in each of our hearts, are we ready for his coming? Because we know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And what did he say? Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's not just while we are sitting in the house of God, maybe under the preaching of the word or the reading of it or the singing of the Lord's praises, that we think of it, but in an hour that ye think not. And may we solemnly lay that to heart today. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozrah? I just want to hint at one or two things concerning these things. Many sermons, of course, could be preached from them, but I don't intend to go into it today because this last part is what the Lord spoke to me. You see, the Edomites were great enemies to God's dear people, to Israel. Oh, they were. And many a child of God will have mighty enemies to oppose them, within and without. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. So often the great enemy is within us, isn't it? But of course the Edomites were good agents of Satan. I remember when I was a little lad, Mr. Herbert Dawson used to say, he said, you know, Satan is not so short of agents. You know, you have many companies in the country, they have agents about all over the place, don't they? And Satan has his agents. And the Edomites were one of them. And they plagued the children of God. But the dear Redeemer, you see, came to deliver his dear children from all their enemies. Mighty enemies within, without, but mightier still within. And he came to deliver them. And as the Lord delivered Israel from the Edomites and all the enemies that opposed them through the wilderness, so the Lord will deliver his people from the great power of Satan and the powers of the world and the powers of sin. He came into this world to suffer, bleed and die. He says here, with dyed garments from Bozrah. You see, Bozrah was one of the, or we could say, the capital of the Edomites. And the Lord Jesus, he knew what it was to have his garments dyed in blood, to redeem his dear bride, his church, you and I, if we were among them, from the great enemy of sin, the great enemy of Satan, the enemy of the world. And oh, may we ever think of his garments that were dyed in blood. Here we read, with dyed garments from Bosra. There's no doubt, as the children of Israel experienced it, there were many suffered much and the blood was shed. Dyed garments from Bosra. But then we read this glorious word concerning the dear Redeemer, who is able to deliver every one of his dear children. And there may be in many ways those of us today that need deliverance. This that is glorious in his apparel. The margin tells us deck. In his apparel. You know, the apparel of the dear Redeemer is glorious to sinners. Oh, it is. You think of, and I hadn't thought of this before, but it comes, you know. Think of how he was clothed as he walked this earth. I don't mean we're just natural garments. We want to look at this regarding our souls and the spiritual side. The glorious garment of his apparel. Firstly, the holiness that shone in him. He delighteth in holiness. The apparel was holy because it was that which clothed the precious Son of God. He came from heaven full of holiness. He knew no sin. The hymn writer said that we're unholy needs no proof. We sorely feel the fall, but Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. And then he was clothed in that glorious righteousness which he was to so manifest to his dear children as their only covering. We read, only I that speak in righteousness. And of how he wrought out that glorious robe for his church, for his bride. We sing, don't we, and we've sung it here many times. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Glorious in his apparel. And to the child of God, the seeking sinner that needs the dear Redeemer, that glorious robe will be glorious to their faith. He'll see a beauty in his righteousness. This that is glorious in his apparel. And then too, oh, think of the sweet apparel that he had of holiness. You know, I often think when we try and pray, the Lord would give us a humility, humble spirit. The holiness there was in the dear Redeemer. The humility there was in him. He was so manifested, wasn't he? You know, I've often said concerning the Mad Gadarene Legion that one of the things he was clothed with was humility. And if you want a pattern of humility, you look at the dear Redeemer. He humbled himself, the apostle said, in writing to the Philippians, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. You look at the humility that was so manifested in him, in his sufferings. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. So different than us. If we're reviled, old nature soon kicks in and begins to kick, doesn't it? But we never find that in the dear Redeemer, you know. Clothed in humility. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Oh, what a blessed pattern there is to be seen in the glorious Redeemer, glorious in his apparel. And then so he was glorious in his apparel, in his love to sinners. You know, all that he does for his dear children is clothed in love. You know, I often think it's a wonderful pattern for us, isn't it? That we do all things in love. Except ye do all things in love, ye do all things in vain. And all the love that was shown in him, well, really many sermons could be preached on that, because what brought the dear Redeemer from glory into this earth? Love brought him from above into this sin-cursed earth. He took upon human nature in love to sinners, to suffer, to bleed, to die. I remember your late beloved pastor saying about the inscription that Pilate put on the cross, the King of the Jews. But he said, and I shall never forget how he said it, you know, there was another inscription that the child of God will see. And that is love in it all. Love was upon Calvary's tree in all his sufferings. And this glorious apparel of love is known to sinners' hearts. And then he speaks to his dear children in love. When he called Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road, what was there in it all? Everlasting love. That's why the Lord called him and spoke to him like he did. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And what did it do? It turned the dear man right round from serving Satan and serving himself to serve the God of heaven, the Lord. Glorious in his apparel. And you know, there's a blessed glory too in his sufferings to sinners. It's a glorious apparel. You know, the natural man, and if we are left in nature, we cannot comprehend it or understand it. But to faith, you know, there's a glorious view of Jesus in his agonies, in his sufferings. It's beautiful to faith. Something that's glorious has a blessed beauty to it, doesn't it? And sometimes you can't describe the beauty. Some time ago we visited a place where they had a lot of the old dresses worn by the old queens of this country. And you know, when you looked at them, you couldn't begin to describe the handiwork and the beauty that was in them. And the labour of work that had been put in them. But think about it spiritually, concerning the dear Lord Jesus, his sufferings, his agonies, in suffering, bleeding, dying for sinners. There's a blessed beauty. Why? Because all the sinners' hopes there. If ever my poor soul be saved, the hymn writer says, 'tis Christ must be the way. And he'll lead you, you see, faith will view the beauty. The natural man can never comprehend it. But faith will view it. And then there's a blessed beauty, of course, and I hadn't thought of ever touching this morning, but you know, in the Word of God, what he speaks to his dear people. If you ever a person that's not under the grace of God and has no desire for the truth at all, they won't see any beauty in the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit opens it up to them, and nor can we. But when the Holy Spirit opens the Word up to the sinner, it may be in private meditation, it may be in their house of God, there's a blessed beauty. They see the glory there is in it. Glorious in his apparel. Well, much could be further said on this. I'll leave it for your meditation. But, and he goes further. Travelling in the greatness of his strength. Where's your strength come from, child of God, and where does mine? Well, it certainly doesn't come from ourselves. Man thinks he can get his own strength when he wants to. But with the child of God, you see, the Lord Jesus is their dear Redeemer, is their strength. What did the apostle say? I can do all things through Christ, through him that strengtheneth me. Here be your strength, poor soul, and here travelling in the greatness of his strength. You see, he'd overcome the enemies that had so came against Israel. And oh, you think of the greatness of his strength when he rose on the resurrection morn. Nothing of the powers of death, nothing of the powers of the grave, not the great stone rolled by the soldiers over the tomb could hold him. He travelled in the greatness of his strength. And oh, those that are weak, helpless, poor, nothing of themselves they've got, will draw their strength from the dear Redeemer. He'll make them strong in faith, strong in love, strong in their desires, strong in their longings after him. It's not in the sinner. If it was in us, child of God, what would be happening? We'd be lifted up with pride, wouldn't we? We'd be full of self. So the poor sinner has to come right down into the depths. They've got nothing themselves, but they've got a place they can draw from. And it's in the dear Redeemer. You see, each of us are travelling. We sing in one of the hymns here, travelling home to God. Are we? Each of us are travelling through this world. As soon as we're born, we're travellers. And we're either travelling to endless joy or endless banishment. We're either travelling to heaven to be with the dear Redeemer, without a veil between, or we're travelling down to the bottomless pit. And may we lay it to heart this morning. The dear Redeemer travelling in the greatness of his strength. And how can the child of God travel through this wilderness journey? They travel in the strength that he gives them in two ways. First, in their souls, strengthened in the inward man by the Lord. And the Lord may give you a sweet word to strengthen you. And that will melt your heart, poor soul. And you can go in the strength of it. Think of how Jeremiah and those dear prophets of old, Isaiah, they went forth. How did they travel? In the strength of their dear Redeemer, by what he spoke to them. He was their strength. There's a word that quite melted me as I awoke this morning, really. And it was on the sweet loving kindness of the Lord. And it's found in that beautiful hymn on the Lord being the shepherd of his dear people. And it was this word, and it really humbled me in the dust, you know. They that once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. They that once his kindness prove. And the Lord whispered that right into my soul. And in the strength of that, we venture here. You see, travelling in the greatness of his strength. Now are you and am I travelling in the greatness of his strength that he gives to us? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. I said just now, it's two ways the child of God needs it. Firstly, in their souls, a word from heaven to go in the strength of. We think of so many precious words in this prophecy, aren't we? Of the dear Redeemer speaking to his dear children. And we think of that beautiful word in Isaiah 41 where he speaks this word, and what a strength it's been to many of God's dear children. Fear thou not, For I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then again in Isaiah 43, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And then he goes further, and as you travel, you see, through this wilderness, there have been many fires, many waters to pass through. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Travelling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness. Well, I'll leave that clause for your meditation. Are we travelling with him in the greatness of his strength? Not in our own strength, but in his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. You may have wondered why we read that 59th chapter. I had no intention of reading it, and I hadn't read it till we got here this morning. Just before I came out of the house to come here, it seemed to drop in so powerfully. Those words that are recorded in that 59th chapter, so I changed the reading to it. And it's this, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. But then this: therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak, according to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Now you see, that is what the Lord will do when he comes again. These enemies will all be put down forever. Hell will be the portion of the enemies of the Church of God, unless the Lord redeem them. But just to be brief before we leave it, I that speak in righteousness. This interested my heart much when the word came, I that speak in righteousness. And I want to help just to bring before you a few things he speaks in righteousness in. Firstly, regarding his covenant with his dear people. You see, the Lord, when he speaks in righteousness, means that it is right throughout. There's no deviation in it. There's no sin in it. Righteousness prevails. So when he speaks in righteousness to your poor heart, poor soul, what he says is right and will be done. Think of his covenant with his dear people. He made that covenant with them of old, didn't he? He made a covenant with David. And that covenant had got to be fulfilled. Oh, it had. In every jot and tittle. Because it was spoken in righteousness. And the covenant made with David's God in all things, you say, is ordered sure. There's no doubt about it. I that speak in righteousness. And then, think how he speaks in righteousness in dealing with his dear children. In all they have to walk through. What he does is right. You see, the whole meaning of righteousness is it comes from a righteous God, and what he does is right. There are many things we do that are wrong. Because we're sinners. That doesn't give us any license to do anything that's wrong. We should ever strive to do what is right in the sight of God. But you see, with his dear prophets, take the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all those prophets of old. He dealt with them in righteousness, and they preached righteousness from beginning to end. I that speak in righteousness. And he used them to be righteous prophets. Oh, he did. Declaring unto the people the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the great need of salvation for their souls. It's like we've seen, done with, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. I that speak in righteousness. And you see, because it comes from a righteous God, the sinner desires to know much of his righteousness. And they want to have that righteousness applied to them, put on. Faith will put it on, that glorious robe, that covering. You know, it's a blessed place of shelter, isn't it? Where the sinner can rest under the righteousness of Christ. Oh yes, their safety's there, clothed in his glorious righteousness. Secure covering, a covering that there's none like it in the earth. This glorious righteousness, I that speak in righteousness. And then too, not only through the prophets, but too through the apostles in the days when the Saviour was upon the earth. You think of the Apostle Paul, how he preached righteousness to sinners. Well, go right back, it comes to one's mind's eye, name it. You go back to dear Noah. All those years he was preaching, he was building the ark, what did we read? He was a preacher of righteousness. Oh, he did. Noah. In his walk, in his life, in all he did regarding the building the ark was done in righteousness. Because the Lord was the author of it, the finisher of it. And he was to bring it all to fruition. The great flood should come. The enemies to be perished in that flood. Noah and the favoured few that were preachers of righteousness would be saved. And think of the apostle, the dear apostle Paul, you know, he beautifully sets it forth, doesn't he? The exceeding sinfulness of sin, the great need of the precious blood of Jesus being applied, and then the glorious clothing for that poor sinner. Not a clothing of their own. And she's, because he's a preacher of righteousness, and the Lord here says, I that speak in righteousness, the sinner will have to learn this, that all your righteousness, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. They're useless. There's only one righteousness that I do for your soul and mine when we come to die, and that'll be the righteousness of the dear Redeemer, what he has wrought out. And faith will put it on. And that's why the ungodly and the world can never have it, because they got no faith to put it on. Faith to put it on. The righteousness of God. I that speak, the Lord speaking, you see, in righteousness, mighty to save. And what a blessed thing it is as we close this morning. I've only scratched around the surface of it. That we have one in the dear Redeemer who is mighty to save. And he can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. No other can save. What do we have to come to? What the hymn writer said, thou must save and thou alone. In conclusion, poor sinner, may the Lord stir us each up that we might know our salvation is sure. He will be your only hope, poor soul. All your salvation will be in him. It's like Jonah, Mr. Labour said, you know, once in preaching from that. It's the best sermon that was ever preached. When Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. He proved it, didn't he? Who had saved him from the sea? Who had saved him from his disobedience? Who had saved him from the belly of hell? It was the Lord himself. And he could well say, salvation is of the Lord. Amen.